So mindfulness of thoughts. Most of us like feeling calm and not having many thoughts running around our brains. So sometimes it's easy to want to not have them, to want to judge them as being wrong or not belonging, or it's better when we're not thinking. But we all think. And it's important not to, in this practice, not to put thinking outside of the meditation process. We're already thinking, and what we want to do is make our thoughts be useful as opposed to not useful. Thinking is a wonderful tool. Without it, you wouldn't have arrived in this room. You wouldn't have known how to learn how to drive. We wouldn't have had a website. We wouldn't have a civilization. But just like a knife, you know, a knife can be used, you know, to help you, make clothes, cutting clothes, cooking, all these wonderful things, or to hurt people. And so thinking is the same way. So it's learning how to use our thinking process usefully. Every time you tell yourself to go back to the breath, that's a useful thought. Every time you tell yourself to be kind to yourself, that's a useful thought. It's easy sometimes to forget that the concepts that we have about things are simply tools. They're only a shorthand for the actual object. If you've been mindful when eating, you know, you can notice that every orange you eat is just a little different from the other one. And depending how you're feeling, depending how much sun the orange got, how sweet it is, it's always different. And so it's easy when we're caught in our thinking to, oh yeah, I know what an orange is like. I don't have to pay attention. I know what that's like. And we do that with people too, with people in our lives. Oh yeah, I know what that person's like. Where we put them in a box, you kind of decided how they are, and don't really see the incredible complexity that makes a human being, their joys and their sufferings. Stress, in one way, can be said to be caused by misdirected thinking. So, for instance, one of the analogies I use sometimes is being caught in gridlock on the Golden Gate Bridge. And, you have to be at a meeting, you know, and your thought process is like, oh, I'm going to be late, this is really bad, and you can get all caught up in that and not do anything useful with that thinking. Or you can just shift your attention to where you are. It's one of the great wonders of the world. And there's all these tourists there who've traveled thousands of miles to be there to see this incredible place. And so you shift the attention to here, to this wonderful thing. It's just redirecting the thinking to what's useful. It's not aversion to the other thinking. It's just recognizing, that's just not yet helpful. So in meditation, excuse me, there are two different aspects of thinking that are particularly helpful. The first one is to being willing and committed to putting aside our thoughts and concerns that aren't about now. So putting aside our thoughts about the future, or thoughts about our fantasies, the past. So putting all that aside while we're here. And that takes commitment. And the other aspect is relating mindfully to the thoughts that come up. And that's what we've been doing, as this retreat has progressed. So people have, let me read you one of the questions we got last night. The note is about mind pictures. What about mind pictures? When fear arose and I said yes, what came up was a picture of me cradling it in my arms and comforting it, as in, it's okay. This seemed useful as I became more present with my breath. Later came what seemed like random pictures, a house I didn't know, strangers talking, etc. These seemed more like mind chatter without words, so I let it go and returned to my breath. Should I have investigated further? So that's a really great question, you know, and we all have, a little bit different minds, and some of us think a lot in words. Some of us think in whole sentences. Some of us never get whole sentences, we just get fragments of sentences. Some of us have a lot of images. And some people have thoughts where they just kind of know, but there's either no words or images. So it's all different varieties, and some of us have a mix of all of them, or a few of those. And so images is definitely, we can distinguish with images whether they are helpful or not helpful. And I think whoever wrote the question did a really good job doing that. The picture of cradling the fear and giving it room is really a great way of accepting it. It felt that seemed really a connected thing, a connected way to do it, a very skillful thing. And images that aren't connected, there's no need, it's just a thought. They're just images that come and go. I've sat in meditation and had hundreds of images come and go, come and go, come and go. And some of them look really interesting. I noticed my mind wanting to give them meaning. You know, oh, wow, look at that. It's, you know, I wonder if that's a last past life, you know. I didn't need to make a conclusion about them. Just saw them and let them go, saw them and let them go. You know, you can feel when an image is nurturing to you. It's wholesome. It's helpful, but then you let that go too. You don't keep it. You know, everything. Like Gil said once, I really liked. He said, "Every thought self-liberates." So they come and they go. So just, a couple of more things, it's really important to notice our attitude to our thinking. Sometimes on retreat, you know, we have these extended periods of really calm and peace, and then you have a sitting where all of a sudden you're thinking a lot again, and it's really easy to I'm having a bad sitting, or to make it wrong somehow, you know, because we like the other one better. So it's a really important time to really watch the quality of our thinking about our thinking. That's always a really subtle thing we can get caught by. Sometimes if thinking is overwhelming, I think Gil mentioned it the other day, it can be really busy, really restless, and so we can look to the body. How does that, because that creates a certain buzz in the head, or maybe in other parts of the body are moving rapidly. So certain thoughts can really have a somatic effect, and it's really helpful to, instead of getting caught and chasing the thoughts, is moving to the body, to how it feels in the body to be thinking like that. We're not pushing them away, but we're just, connecting with more of what's happening. Sometimes it's helpful to notice what kind of thoughts you're having. Many of our thoughts are either about the past or the future. But there's certain repetitive thoughts that can be really helpful to note what kind of thoughts they are. For instance, sometimes today is, being the last day of the retreat, sometimes people begin to plan, I've got to do all my packing, I've got to, and an hour later, I've got to do all my packing, and this, the same thing, repetitive planning. repetitive worry. So certain thoughts, really show certain patterns of in ourselves, and it can be really helpful when we have repetitive type patterns to look and see if there's an emotion underneath. Because often repetitive planning is coming from worry or coming from, sometimes it's just impatience and anticipation for the next day, so you plan. So really connecting with whatever might be underneath it. A lot of worried thoughts, that's definitely coming from an emotion, from fear or something similar. So if we don't really recognize sometimes the an emotion like that, the thoughts just keep recurring. They might still keep recurring, but there's something about recognizing the emotion that can really help reduce the pattern of that repetitive thinking. And then the last thing I want to mention is a very common thought on retreat is judgment, I found really helpful to name judgment when it occurs. And not to just name thinking, because my mind just did so much judging that it was only once I really started naming it that I was shocked by how much I was judging. I mean, there wasn't anything I wasn't judging. That's a little too tall, a little too short, a little too this, a little too that. It's not discernment. Discernment sees those things, but it's a quality. Like we might notice, oh, that person's much shorter than everyone else. Oh, that person's much taller than everyone else. So you might notice those things, but it's the quality of making one of those better than the other, or making. They're taller than me. With some sort of contraction, So judging. I remember one of my teachers said on one retreat he was getting so frustrated by how much he was judging that he sat in a place. You know how we can do that in our community room downstairs where you can see people walk by? Well, there's a spot like that at this retreat center where you could just watch everybody walk by. And so instead of noticing and judging, he just started counting. And in the entire period, he just kept counting and counting and counting. He said he was way over 100. But we don't have to take it so seriously either, And sometimes when we lighten up and we see, oh yeah, that's a habit of the mind to look critically at people, to look critically at situations. So let's go ahead and we'll do a meditation. Get into a comfortable position. Take a few deep breaths, and with each exhale, settle into your body, relaxing any obvious tension you're holding. Bring your awareness to your body, relaxing anything that needs relaxing. And for the first several minutes, I'd like you to do an exercise Let your mind do what it wants. Don't direct it. But just stay alert for any thoughts that arise. When you notice a thought or a thought train, you might notice if it's an image, a sentence, a fragment, or just knowing. Or maybe you notice the bubbling up of a thought before it becomes a thought. Now bring your attention back to the breath, to your home base. Stay close to the sensations of breathing. If your mind wanders away, gently come back to the breath. No need to judge the wandering mind. And in the same way that we've been paying attention to the body and emotions when they become compelling, expand your attention to also include any compelling thoughts that arise. If thoughts are in the background, let them stay there. You can just keep the breath in the foreground. But if they become in the foreground, turn your attention to the thinking process. Often the moment we become mindful of thinking, the thought just disappears. So let it go. Just return to the breath. But if it continues, stay mindful while it still continues. And if it's helpful, you can note thinking. Noting can give you a little more objectivity about our thinking and keep us from getting so lost in it. Or if you have repetitive thoughts like judgment, just label it judgment. And notice that any thought arises and passes away. They're just like clouds floating by. So we can let most of our thoughts arise and fall away. In general, most of what we've thought about today, we thought about yesterday. Not particularly original. Now what's amazing is that after sometimes thousands of repetitions, the same thoughts are still just as compelling to us. So we're all thinking, and what we want to do is make our thoughts useful. I want to end with a quote from Ajahn Sumedho that I really like. The spacious mind has room for everything. It's like the space in a room which is never harmed by what goes in and out of it. So we have time for a couple of questions. Anybody has any? Yes.
I was wondering about preparing for things. I mean, because we all, I know for me, if I'm taking a shower or washing dishes or something, I'll get an idea for something in the future, and that seems useful, or even a solution to a problem, and that seems useful.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, it depends what you're doing. If you're sitting in meditation, not so useful. Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes we have ideas about the future, and then we keep planning the same thing over and over again. You know, then that's when it's not so useful. Yes. Yeah, yes, they're thoughts. And, you know, there's certain types of thoughts. You know, if you think about a memory, let's say it's a memory where you are really embarrassed, you know, when that memory arises, the thoughts are in the memory. We're going through the certain thoughts in the memory, so we're thinking, we're feeling, we're seeing. So we're actually experiencing it, you know, as if it was happening right now in a lot of ways, if a memory is really fresh. Sometimes we're more removed, so it's just like a memory arises, but the pain of the memory, if it was a painful memory, isn't there. So there's different ways that it arises, but it's thinking, it's a type of thinking and feeling. So thank you.